Good day out there, everybody. This is John Chomo, host of Then and Now. This is episode number 51. We are almost ready to start season two. It's hard to believe, but we're just about there. Before we get going today with our usual menu of facts and events, topics, and three good questions, shout out to friends of the podcast in Chicago, Bueno Days on Cermak Road. If you want coffee, pastries, and just some good time to spend with good folks, head on over there. That's Bueno Days on Cermak Road in Chicago. Okay. First off, we do February 14th through 20th this week, the events and birthdays, etc. Let's get started there. February 14th, of course, is Valentine's Day. On that date in 1859, Oregon became our 33rd state. On that date in 1912, Arizona became the 48th state. In Chicago in 1929, on February 14th, it was known as the Valentine's Day Massacre. Gang wars over liquor sales, etc., Al Capone and all of that kind of stuff went down on that day. The world's first computer was activated at the University of Pennsylvania, Penn, in Philadelphia, on February 14th, 1946. It took up three walls in a room, something that you could do, you know, on your phone now. It took up three walls in a big classroom in 1946. On February 14th, 2018, 17 students and teachers were killed in a mass shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Birthdays on that date include Jack Benny, the famous comedian of radio and TV history. Jack Benny, born on February 14th, 1894. Two famous birthdays in the world of sports, both on that date in 1913. One was the longtime voice of the New York Yankees. Some of those of you my age would remember him more for being the voice of This Week in Baseball. Mel Allen, born February 14th, 1913. Born that same day in the state of Ohio, Wayne Woodrow Hayes, Woody Hayes, the legendary Ohio State football coach who won five national championships as the head man at Ohio State. Other birthdays on Valentine's Day include Jim Kelly, the former Buffalo Bills quarterback who will be 65, and investigative reporter extraordinaire Carl Bernstein will be 81. Moving to February 15th, in 1898, a very mysterious event happened. And it's not mysterious that 200 people were killed in an explosion. It's mysterious of how, as to how the USS Maine exploded. The USS Maine, U.S. Navy ship, was anchored in Havana Harbor. It exploded, killing over 200 U.S. sailors on February 15th, 1898. The yellow journalism, if you remember that term, the press in the United States, the newspapers especially, made it seem like or wanted kind of with cheering on the fact that Spain was responsible for the explosion of the Maine. An investigation years later cast a lot of doubt on that claim. It appears that probably it was an explosion in the boiler room that caused the explosion, not the Spanish with a torpedo or something like that. Nevertheless, that was the event that spurred the American public to pressure its members of Congress and President McKinley to go to war with Spain, and we did in April of 1898. Again, over something that was probably not Spain's fault, but that's how it went. On February 15th, 1933, there was an assassination attempt on President-elect Franklin Delano Roosevelt in Miami. He was President-elect still in February because that was the last year where the inauguration date was March 4th. The 20th Amendment to the Constitution would change that. Starting the next election, the inauguration date was moved to January 20th, as you know. But on February 15th, 1933, President-elect Roosevelt was sitting in an open car in Miami, being cheered by some people. A gunman shot into the car, killing one of the members of the car, and we'll refer to that later in one of our questions, missing, sparing the life, if you will, of President-elect Franklin Roosevelt. Thank goodness. Not thank goodness that the other notable person in the car was killed, but that's just one of those events where, man, what if? Birthdays on February 15th. Galileo Galilei, the astronomer, born February 15, 1564. Susan B. Anthony, who led the charge for women's rights to vote in the United States, born February 15, 1820. Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons, will be 71. And longtime Pittsburgh Penguins forward Jaromír Jágr, still playing professional hockey in the Czech Republic, his homeland. He's 53 years old and still playing in the professional league over there. February 16th, on that date in 1959, Fidel Castro took over officially as the leader of Cuba. The first 911 phone system was started on February 16th, 1968, in Haleyville, Alabama, of all places. Birthdays include Sonny Bono of Sonny and Cher fame. Sonny was born February 16, 1935. Ice-T will be 67. John McEnroe, the Wimbledon champion and longtime tennis announcer, especially, you know, in addition to his great career, John McEnroe will be 66. Mark Price, former Cleveland Cavaliers sharpshooter, will be 61. And Jerome Bettis, the bus from Notre Dame and the Pittsburgh Steelers, will be 53. February 17th, the United States House of Representatives elected Thomas Jefferson to be the third president of the United States over Aaron Burr. That's the election. The date of that was 1801. The election of 1800 was the election where all of the Democratic Republican, and that was one party, Democratic Republican Party, all of those people in the Electoral College voted for both Jefferson and Burr, and they tied. And the House of Representatives had to choose the president in the case of no one getting a majority of the electoral votes. And that was kind of the beginning of the 12th Amendment, which happened immediately afterwards. But the House, very wisely, I might add, elected Jefferson over Burr. You may know Aaron Burr's history, the rest of the story. Birthdays on February 17th. Hal Holbrook, the late actor from Cleveland, Ohio. Great, great actor. Hal Holbrook, born February 17th, 1925. The greatest running back in the history of football, Jim Brown, born on that date in 1936. Another fabulous sports birthday, Michael Jordan will be 62 on February 17th. And musically, Ed Sheeran will be 34. February 18th, 1865, saw the publishing of the novel Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain. On February 18th, 2001, Dale Earnhardt Sr. died crashing in the last turn of the Daytona 500. It was the first year that Fox had done the Daytona 500, had a large viewership, and what an awful ending to the race that was. In 1892, Wendell Willkie was born. Wendell Willkie lived for a while in Akron, Ohio. He was the 1940 Republican candidate for president who lost to Franklin Roosevelt. That was the third term election for FDR. Enzo Ferrari made a pretty good car, born February 18, 1898. Yoko Ono will be 92 years old on February 18th. John Travolta will be 70. Vanna White, famous for her role on Wheel of Fortune all these years, will be 68. Dr. Dre will be 60. And my friend Lisa Dunton will celebrate a birthday on February 18th. Happy birthday, Lisa. February 19th, speaking of Aaron Burr, Vice President of the United States, was arrested for treason. He had left the country, moved out west, and tried to start a new country in American territory. He was arrested for treason on February 19th, 1807. Thomas Edison patented the gramophone, the forerunner of the record player, on February 19th, 1878. The first ever men's basketball game between the two great rivals here in Northeast Ohio, Akron and Kent State. The first time they ever met on the basketball court was February 19th, 1916. It was Akron 37 and Kent State 21. That rivalry is nearly equal over 200 and some games. For those of you not maybe aware of what Akron and Kent are in this area, it is really one of the great college basketball rivalries in the country. In spite of the fact that it's two MAC teams who don't usually get, the MAC doesn't usually get a lot of exposure on national television, the Akron-Kent games are usually nationally televised somewhere, CBS Sports Network or ESPN, somewhere like that. It's a massive rivalry around here. They play twice every year, sometimes three times, because they meet in the MAC tournament often, as they did last year in the championship game. And those games are always very tight and exciting. FDR's controversial Executive Order 9066 was issued on February 19, 1942. That is the order to relocate Japanese American citizens from their homes, mostly on the Pacific coast, inland to camps. I don't refer to them as concentration camps because that has a whole other context when you say that. But these people were uprooted out of their homes, American citizens, and taken to camps in Wyoming and Arizona and far away kind of outpost places. One of the regrettable things that happened, in my opinion, in the Second World War. Speaking of the Second World War, U.S. Marines landed on the island of Iwo Jima, February 19, 1945. The first ever episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood aired on PBS on that date in 1968. Fred Rogers, one of the great people ever from the great city of Pittsburgh. Smokey Robinson, still touring, by the way. He's touring this year. Smokey Robinson, lead voice of the Miracles for all those years. Smokey will be 85 on February 19th. Actor Jeff Daniels will be 70. The commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell, will be 66. Prince Andrew of England, the Duke of York, if you will be 65. And finally, four-time major champion in the world of golf from South Africa, Ernie Els will be 56. Ernie Els won the senior major, played here at Firestone Country Club in Akron last year. It was his first senior major. He won two U.S. Opens, 1994 and 1997, and two British Open championships in 2002 and 2012. One of the greats, Ernie Els. Happy birthday. February 20th saw President George Washington sign a law creating the U.S. Postal Service on February 20th, 1792. John Glenn's flight, the first American to orbit the Earth aboard Friendship 7, which galvanized the country on February 20th, 1962. He made three orbits around the Earth. Batman and Robin first appeared in newspapers, the comic strip, on that date in 1944. Lots of birthdays on February 20th. Something about that date to finish up our dates here this week. Sidney Poitier, the late great actor, Oscar winner, born on February 20th, 1927. Longtime Pirates reliever, 1960 world champion, Elroy Face, born on that date in 1928. Three-time Indy 500 champ, Bobby Unser, born on February 20th, 1934. Staying in the world of motor racing, Roger Penske will be 88 on that date. Senator Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, 83, as is Hockey Hall of Famer Phil Esposito, longtime Boston Bruins great. He'll be 83 as well. Ivana Trump, that was wife number one. She's the one that passed away a few years ago, mysteriously falling down the stairs, and is buried in the right rough of hole number one at Bedminster, believe it or not, in New Jersey. Ivana Trump, born February 20th, 1949. Patty Hearst, the heiress to the Hearst Empire and a figure really in a weird event in the 1970s. I don't really want to go into it fully right now. Patricia Hearst will be 71. Charles Barkley, Auburn University, Sixers, Suns. Charles Barkley will be 62, most known to you all as a TNT analyst. Cindy Crawford, model and actress, will be 59. The late Kurt Cobain, lead man in Nirvana, born on that date in 1967. Justin Verlander, still kicking around the big leagues, now 42 years old. And finally, Rihanna will be 37 on February 20th. That's a lot of birthdays for one day, but there we go. That's our events and birthdays for the week. Moving on to some topics, and we're going to go through about five of them today. We're not going to linger too long on any one topic. First of all, Super Bowl 59 was played as we record this just a couple of days ago. There's really not much to elaborate about. That was just what we used to call a thorough ass-kicking by the Philadelphia Eagles over the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs going for a three-peat, trailed 34-0 late in the third quarter. Devontae Smith of the Eagles became the first player drafted out of the University of Alabama, believe it or not, to score a touchdown in a Super Bowl game. That's kind of hard to believe, but true. I'm not a Philly fan, really, in any sport. Most of my favorite teams, in fact, count Philly as a rival. My Celtics count the 76ers as a rival. My Penguins and the Flyers, likewise. The Pirates and Phillies have been a great rivalry over the years. But I do respect the loyalty of the fan base there. They're like no other fan base, the Philly fans. They did very famously boo Santa Claus back in the late 1960s at an Eagles game, by the way. You can look up that video on YouTube, probably. But they are very passionate, very loud, very supportive of their team in good times, known to boo when things don't go very well. But they show up, and they're loud, and they're supportive, and, you know, Philly is a great sports town. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Also, congratulations to Nick Sirianni, the head football coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He played his college football nearby here at Mount Union. Okay, moving on. It's time for college hoops. Now that football is over with, it's time to focus on college basketball, men's and women's both, having a great season. It's about 4 weeks until tournament time. Selection Sunday, had to look it up, is March 16th this year. Cleveland, Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, will be a first and second round site. Games will be played there on Friday, March 21st, and Sunday, March 23rd. I'm sure you can find tickets available online for those. We will once again, and I'll keep mentioning it, we'll once again have our podcast Bracket Challenge on ESPN.com, our second year of running the Bracket Challenge. So look for that as March rolls around. Number three, we have a new lieutenant governor pending approval of the Ohio House and Senate here in the state of Ohio. That announcement was made on Monday, and of all people, it's Jim Tressel, the vest. Coach Tressel will be the lieutenant governor of the state of Ohio. I'm sure they'll approve it. Four-time national champion coach at Youngstown State, coach of the 2002 national champion Ohio State Buckeyes, and my college phys ed instructor when I was in college at the University of Akron, believe it or not. He was one of my two gym class instructors there. He was a quarterback coach. He was a grad assistant quarterback coach at the University of Akron in the mid to late 70s. That's where he got his start in coaching. So our paths have crossed a couple of times. He is 72 years old. I only mention that because I'm sure now there will be speculation about the governor's race in 2026. Governor DeWine is term limited. He will not be eligible to be reelected in 2026. And I'm sure there will be speculation in the Ohio political media as to whether or not Coach Tressel will want to run for governor for a four-year term. He was very evasive about it when he put out a statement on Monday saying, yeah, I just have, you know, 699 days as lieutenant governor, and I'm going to do the best I can. And that's pretty much all he said. And he's not going to say a lot about that, probably. But it'll be fascinating to see if he really wants to enter the rough and tumble world of political race. The Republican primary would be really interesting if Jim Tressel got in it. But we'll see. I don't know that that's going to happen. Time will tell there. So good luck to Coach Tressel. Issue number four here. No more pennies will be minted in the United States per President Trump. And for once on the podcast, I'm going to say, hey, that's not the dumbest idea that he ever had. Canada eliminated pennies a few years ago. And somebody asked somebody up there, well, how did you do that? And they said, well, you just make all the prices of everything divisible by five so that nickels would do. Oh, okay. Evidently, from what I've seen, it takes 4 cents worth of effort and materials to make one penny. And that seems to be a, you know, losing proposition, if you will. So President Trump doesn't want any more pennies minted in the United States. He's ordered a halt of that. And okay, I guess whatever. Pennies will become collector's items. Certainly a 2025 penny would be. So we'll see. But looks like that may happen, actually. Speaking of presidents, I want to talk about President's Day here for a moment. President's Day holiday is coming up this coming Monday. It is now a third Monday in February holiday. President's Day is actually not the legal name of the holiday nationally. The bill creating the third Monday in February as a national holiday, which was passed in 1968 and went into effect in 1971, refers to the holiday as Washington's birthday holiday. Washington's birthday was February 22nd. Lincoln's birthday happens to be February 12th. And the bill sort of amalgamated all of those birthdays and called it, Washington's birthday holiday. Some states have referred to it in their language, in their official proclamations, as President's Day. That term became largely popularized through the 70s through ad campaigns for, you know, furniture and all that kind of stuff, for holiday sales, etc. President's Day recognition would also celebrate Lincoln's birthday, as I mentioned, on February 12th. But the official holiday name really is Washington's Birthday Holiday. As I mentioned, some states actually have codified it as President's Day. But nationally, in Congress, it is known as Washington's Birthday Holiday. I just thought I'd want to mention that holiday rolls around here again. All right. We will now go to our Three Good Questions segment of the podcast. If you have a good question, please send it to us. Our email address is threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's THREE, goodquestions@gmail.com. You can also find that email address in our logo if you haven't noticed already. Okay. Answers from the trivia questions, three good questions, if you will, from the last episode. One of those questions was, and I will quote it here, name the only five colleges, universities, if you will, that have produced both a Super Bowl winning quarterback and a United States president as an alumni. Okay, hit pause if you haven't guessed yet, but I'm going to reveal the answers to that. The five universities that share that distinction are as follows. One, the U.S. Naval Academy, quarterback Roger Staubach, president Jimmy Carter. Two, Stanford University in California, president Herbert Hoover, quarterback Jim Plunkett. The University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, I hate to say that, president Gerald R. Ford, and quarterback Tommy. Miami of Ohio, the original Miami, quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, and president Benjamin Harrison. Finally, and the latest addition to that list, the University of Delaware, which will become an FBS school this fall for you college football fans, quarterback Joe Flacco, favorite here in Northeast Ohio, and President Joe Biden. So there are our five answers for that question: Navy, Stanford, Michigan, Miami of Ohio, and Delaware. Very good. Question number two was, there were four franchises undefeated in Super Bowls. That didn't change last Sunday, by the way. Four franchises have played in and never lost a Super Bowl. They are as follows. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're 2-0. The Baltimore Ravens, they're 2-0. The Jets and the Saints are both 1-0. The Jets' appearance being January 12th, 1969. Joe Namath running off the field. We're number one. That's 56 years ago, Jets fans, but I can't say anything as a Browns fan. So there are your four: the Bucs, the Ravens, the Jets, and the Saints. Question number three. What's the only school whose men's basketball team have made a Final Four eight times in this century, if you will, since 2000? The answer is the Michigan State Spartans, and it certainly appears as of this date that they will be making it nine very soon. They're having a pretty good season once again. So Tom Izzo's Michigan State Spartans, eight times in the Final Four this century. All right, we have two questions this week. One, I referred to Cermak Road in Chicago when I shouted out Bueno Days at the beginning of the podcast. Who was Anton Cermak? There's a hint. He was alluded to in this week's podcast, not by name, but alluded to in the events section of this week's podcast. Who was Anton Cermak, and why is that road named after him in Chicago? Okay. Second question, Devontae Smith, I mentioned him previously. He became not only the first player drafted out of Alabama to score a touchdown in a Super Bowl game, he became now the fifth player all time to win both a Super Bowl, to win all of the three above things, a Super Bowl, a college football national championship, and a Heisman Trophy. Who are the only other four players to have ever accomplish those three things? And I'll repeat them again because I kind of messed that up. He'll be the fifth player. He was the fifth player on Sunday to win a Super Bowl title, a college football national championship, and a Heisman Trophy. There are four others aside from Devontae Smith. Who were they? Okay. And again, if you have answers, if you want to have guesses, you get a right answer, you get a shout out on the podcast. Hit us up at threegoodquestions, T-H-R-E-E, goodquestions, @gmail.com with your guesses. Okay. That's a jam-packed episode of Then and Now. That's number 51. One more, and then we'll have to embark on season two. Hopefully, you'll come along for the ride. Appreciate all of the listeners out there. It was really happy time for me when somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, I listened to your podcast the other day." It's very humbling. So thank you, all you listeners out there. Keep it up. And we'll be back at you next week with episode number 52, the last episode of the first season of Then and Now. Till then, take care of yourselves. I'm John Shomo. Take care. Have a great day, everybody.